Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Off the Water. I'm your host, JP. Today, I have a very, very awesome guest coming to you from the state of Colorado. He is a fellow firefighter, a fellow brother, and he has something pretty awesome in the works that we're going to talk about today. I'd like to introduce you guys to Mr. David Varney. What's going on, brother?
How are you doing, my friend? Appreciate you letting me join tonight, so thank you.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for taking the time out and hopping on the show.
Absolutely.
So Dave, go ahead and before we get into everything that you got going on right now with Firehouse Fishing, we'll let that out soon to be. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about a little bit of your fishing background.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I'd love to. A little bit about myself. I grew up in the state of Colorado my whole life, and I do a lot. I've fished since I was about 3 years old, or as quick as I could put a pole in my hand. So it's been secondhand nature to me. And everything I do, that outlet is going fishing and hitting waters, rivers in the state of Colorado. I go to Florida. I go across the Midwest. I love to fish. And it ties right into my other passion, which is a firefighter. I've been a firefighter for 25 years, and I absolutely love my job. I can honestly say there's not a day that I don't want to go to work because I have an outlet. And that outlet's very vital. I truly believe in the firefighting world, you have to have an outlet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A little bit more, and I'll kind of talk about it. As you guys know out there, firefighters and police officers, they have what's called this PTS depression, and they can get that. And there's statistical data out there. We're five times higher to possibly basically commit suicide than anyone else. And in 2019, we had 114 suicides. It was more than the line of duty deaths. So my point here is the importance of having an outlet with two passions, being a firefighter and a fisherman. My outlet is fishing. And that's what this whole Firehouse Fishing Company is about.
Awesome, man. And, you know, from one brother to another, you know, you got some years on me, you know, senior man. But I will say, you know, that and being in a metropolitan area, you know, you think, oh, it's such a big department and everybody knows everybody here. And the sad reality is we all know somebody in the fire service who has unfortunately succumbed to PTSD and has taken their lives. I've had the unfortunate task of, you know, finding one or two people before who I knew, you know, and affected even me going into the fire service. My uncle, who was he retired from the department in Michigan, deputy chief, but about a year and a half after retirement, you know, his demons caught up with him, and unfortunately, he succumbed to it as well. So it is very real. I understand, and I know it just as well as you do. And you know, to the biggest thing, and for those who are listening who are not in the fire service and who are, you know, hearing this for the first time, you know, one of the big things, and Dave, I'm sorry, I'm stealing your thunder for a second here.
I think it's very important. Keep going.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that, and we're, I would say, especially culturally, we're trying to change is that PTSD was a stigma. It was a stigma, an unwanted stigma that, you know, you just dealt with it. Now I you've been a fireman for 25 years. I've been a fireman for 12. So, you know, and I started when I was 19, and that stigma of just you tuck it away and you move on. You, you know, you just, you know, yeah, you put it, nobody, you don't think about it. And what winds up happening is all that stuff you put away just manifests until where it gets out of control.
And totally agree with you. And part of what Firehouse Fishing Company is all about is visiting firefighters from across the country. And what I do is we share those same two passions of being a firefighter and having that mm-hmm. outlet as a fisherman. And part of that is because you just nailed it. Part of it is that outlet because you have to have the lifestyle change when you leave that firehouse because it is demanding. Every day it's demanding.
And, oh, yeah.
And the big part is we do create calls for, you know, your 12 years, my 25 years. It's in your head. That Rolodex continues. And if you don't have an outlet such as fishing or other, that Rolodex will blow up. And then that's where it turns into that PTSD and depression. So my whole point of the goal of this company is to enlighten people and educate them of who we are as firefighters and also pull in not only the civilians, but the firefighters themselves of the importance of having that outlet. And I truly believe, in my opinion, it's fishing.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said it, you said it in the order itself. The civilians aren't the hard ones to get across to. It's us. We are our own worst enemy. I mean, until you can get over that hump and gap, I mean, trying to tell, you know, and that's something that's, as a fireman, you're bred that way. You are a creature of habit because you're so used to routine. And trying to break a routine, really, you know, like you said, getting into an outlet, you know, we're the hardest ones to get into fishing if you're not into fishing already.
Totally agree with you. And that's why I'm glad to be here tonight, because we share that same passion of a firefighter and having that outlet is fishing.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little more fishing. So Colorado, man, that's, you know, when I think of Colorado, I think of these awesome streams that are running through the Rockies. I think of some glacier lakes that are left over that hold monster trout in there. But the one thing I don't really think of too much is bass, but unlike my last episode, I was proven wrong because Nebraska is a pretty good fishery, that I found out. So lie to me about Colorado, man. Let's talk fishing there.
Let's do it. So let's talk a little bit about the Front Range of Colorado. When you come into Denver, you have what's called the Front Range, and there's multiple lakes and rivers and streams. And one of the ones that flow right through downtown Denver, it's called the South Platte. And of that South Platte, there's 37 miles of what we call gold waters. Now, every gold waters, you probably know, you'll have at least 60 pounds of trout per acre, and at least the size would be between 12 and 14 inches or bigger in that gold water. But at the same time, you can fly fish and you can spoon for the largemouth and smallmouth in some of these streams on the Front Range. And it also ties in to some of the small lakes and big lakes that we have, not like Michigan, but there's some different size lakes out there that do hold large amounts of walleye, largemouth, and smallmouth bass as well. And then that's just the Front Range. Then you jump up into the mountains. We have roughly 9,000 miles of Colorado River, from the Animas River to the Colorado to the Gunnison, which have about 322 miles of gold water rivers as well that host some of the largest fish such as yellow cutthroat, browns, golden trout, Rio Grande trout. that you have the opportunity to fish for. It's pretty cool.
Now, I just recently got into fly fishing. So I, you know, be honest with you, I haven't caught anything yet on the fly, just because I've been working on my casting before anything else. I'm not really worried about catching yet. I just want to make sure I get my technique down.
Get that double haul in right in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, you know, from practicing and being bored at the firehouse too, we had a hula hoop. So I was practicing casting to the hula hoop from, you know, about 30 yards away and, or not 30, sorry, 30 feet away, making that, you know, making that hit there. So, but you know, that sounds exciting, man. You know, and that, what really inspired me was a trip out west to Yellowstone. And I saw how crystal clear that water was and guys fishing for cutthroat in Yellowstone. I was like, man, I'd like to get back out one day. And the way you start describing these golden rivers, and
it's quite epic. Yeah. And some of these, even if you're not fly fishing, that's okay, because we're not all professional fly fishermen, including myself. I'll raise the hand right there. However, is we can also use spinners and normal rods to get into these rivers, and you can get hooked up with some monsters. And even if they're not monsters every time, these fish fight like nobody's business because of the weather patterns that they have. I mean, you go from warm water to cold water. These things are tough fish. The rivers drop sometimes, so they have to fight for, obviously, to succeed in these rivers, because sometimes they're flowing at a large amount of CFM in the springtime. So it's pretty amazing.
Now, when you talk about the changes and stuff like that, are all these rivers, are they regulated at all, or are they all just naturally flowing from the tops of mountains down?
I would say both. They're regulated in some areas, such as the Colorado River, because that pushes into Arizona, then it ends up into California, and then obviously out toward the ocean. But they're also controlled. But a lot of them, all the water that's coming down the mountain is in the springtime when the snow melts.
Okay.
And that increases the amount of water and the GPM that's flowing into these areas.
Okay. Most of these trout, and because it's different here, but most these trout are all native to the area, right?
Correct.
There's no stocking program or anything. They're naturally spawning and reproducing.
They are naturally spawning. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. See, like for us, unless it's in Lake Michigan and in some of the tributaries, which there's not many, they had to do stocking programs. So they go to the hatchery and then they come to select locations where, you know, you can harvest afterwards, but sure, we don't get the natural, the all natural, like you would out west.
Absolutely. And you're right on that. But I still think the Colorado Division of Wildlife, they do an exceptional job in making sure that some of these rivers they do will add, not introduce the same species in some of the rivers based on certain criteria. For example, we've had significant wildfires here. So those wildfires affect the rivers, obviously, from the soot that comes down from the fires afterwards and whatever else ties into that water, and they'll kill off some of the fish. And so they will replenish those rivers, but obviously it's with the natural species that was meant to be in these rivers in the first place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good on their part, because, you know, sometimes I was just talking today where I was fishing the guy who used to stock the lake that I was at, and, you know, changing the hands and people have different ideas and intentions. You know, the lake, unfortunately, they missed stocking last year, so they're still trying to get it this year, but it's not looking like it's going to happen. And that's kind of, you know, that's a shame, because it's a good fishery, but if you don't keep up with it, then, you know, it's going to wind up being, you know, it's going to not be well, because, you know, and let's admit it, not everybody's honest. People don't keep within limits. People keep, you know, not within the size range. So,
right,
you know, they're taking everything that bites goes home, you know, whether you can harvest it or not. So
what's crazy is you could be in the Colorado mountains fishing for these beautiful golden trout or browns or, you know, rainbow trout, even the big trout, the lake trout, and some of these deep waters that we have up there that get huge, the Mackinac. But then you could bump back to eastern Colorado, where you're fishing for some of the warmer species, the bass, the stripers and some of those. So we have a kind of a fluctuation of all different types of species in Colorado just based on the time of year that you fish. And then in the winter, you're ice fishing. So you got a lot of options.
Now, obviously, the colder weather fish, such as walleye, I'm sure there's northern pike. You've mentioned lake trout in the deeper waters. How long is your guys' ice season out there?
It just depends. Colorado basically hit their warmest September they've had in like 50 years. So ice season depends, but so you got to break it down again. If you're in the Metro Denver area, you might hit an ice season, you know, late.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Mid to late December, and then push that into February. It's a very small window.
Okay.
If you're talking the mountains where the big mac live and other species and large size trout, that once those lakes freeze over that 2 inch or greater, typically around the end of November, 1st of December, right into the end of February. So we do have a small window of ice season.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like us, man. We were actually just talking our season. Our ice season didn't start to almost mid-January, and it only lasted to maybe about a month to the third week of February, if that. But it wasn't, I mean, there's times where it just wasn't all solid ice throughout. You'd have pockets, and then you'd have open water in some places too. So Definitely, you know, it's changing, because I remember as a kid, ice season here would start late November and go all the way to the first week of March. So those windows are slowly going down more and more.
I totally agree with you. It'll be interesting to see when we do truly get ice based on a very, very hot summer and now even a hot fall. So yeah, quite interesting.
Cool. And then for bass, so you said it's on the eastern half.
So you can start with the French range. If you flew into Denver, there's multiple lakes from Pueblo State Park to Chatfield Reservoir to some of the local area lakes here. We do have bass in them.
Smallmouth and largemouth, you said?
Yep, exactly.
Cool. Do you guys, how big is the, if you know offhand, what's your guys' state records?
Gosh, I wish I could hit on the size of the bass, but I don't want to speak to that and be incorrect on it.
I got you.
It's not where you are.
Are you guys, what's an average bass size that you're catching out there?
2 pounds.
Average, huh?
1.5 to 2 pounds. I'll leave it at that. I won't go any higher than that. Yeah. Sometimes small. It just depends.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what's also big here is the wipers. Have you ever caught a wiper?
Yes.
They get big.
Well, and those are not, I mean, because they're not, I mean, technically, if they're put there for a reason, kind of like how salmon are in Lake Michigan.
Exactly.
They're there for a reason, but they're not really native. And obviously, a striper and a white bass, you know, had come together at some point in time, and there's your wipers.
So a lot of people fish those wipers on the eastern area of Colorado, what we call the plains. And, you know, they're catching 10, 12, 13, 14-pound wipers. They get pretty big.
Yeah.
For us, big.
No, for us, too, though, that's pretty big by all standards. We have some cooling lakes that they got introduced to over here to help with the algae and stuff like that.
Sure.
And, I mean, there's wipers that come out are just massive.
Yep. And they've been feeding a lot off on the shad, you know, in the spring, and then they're still feeding right now. Some of them, I heard some of the guys were starting to catch them just because of the temperature has been changed a little bit in the water. So it's created a little bit of movement for them. It's not been static.
Doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't.
What are you fishing out of? Are you fishing out of boat, shore, kayak?
I do a little bit of both, kayak, shore, and walking the rivers in the state of Colorado.
Okay.
If I'm going heading towards your way or into Florida, I do a lot of fishing in Florida too. Then we do we have a paddle board. I like the paddle board.
Yeah, buddy.
Two paddle boards. They're about 12 feet long. with a small little electric motor on there. They work great in getting into tight areas.
Cool. Are you, when you're in Florida, are you fishing on the Gulf or the Atlantic or the cold side?
Yeah, so not on the west side. We're fishing in the Gulf side down by the Venice area. A lot of fishing into there. So we get into the Chinook and some of the other species over there that are great to catch, the sea bass, sea trout. So it's fun to get into those.
Yep. I actually, a couple of years ago, we were just talking about this trip. We went out St. Pete Beach, Madeira Beach, John's Pass. And it was Salty Dog Charters was the charter. Brandon Vaughn was the captain. Great guy. Still talk to him once in a while. And first time out that way, we were trying to make it for the mackerel run, but we missed it by a few days. So instead, he took us hog fishing. Holy crap, man. Hogfish put up a great fight.
They are epic, and they're just as good to eat as they are to reel in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they were tasty too.
Yeah, they're a unique looking fish, aren't they?
They are. The colors pattern on them, when you know, just like mahi, when you take them out of the water, instead of them losing their colors, actually their colors kind of brighten up, especially the running patterns throughout the skin look really cool.
They're an amazing fish, and they put up a significant fight. People don't even realize what a fight they put on until they get
one. Yeah.
And they're like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Me and my buddy, our arms were sore from reeling all those fish.
That is awesome. That's a great area to fish. I'm very familiar with that area.
When you're down there, too, did you do any fishing for reds?
Always. A couple of weeks ago, we were fishing for reds in some of the waterways, and they were moving pretty good. And we were using some white jigs to simulate a smaller fish, and we would get into them. Nothing significant, probably about 20, 22 inch size, but nothing major.
The keeper slot for Florida, if I remember, was 24 to 28, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, still works.
Absolutely does. And where you were fishing, also where it's called the Sky Bridge in that area. You remember the big bridge that comes up and over into Tampa there? That's a great area to fish too. You can get into the Goliath groupers and others. So that's a good hit. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'd like to go back down there, especially fishing those brackish waters, because I gotta look at the map to remember. I think it's called Crystal Lake.
Okay.
It's just north of John's Pass. It's brackish because there's a freshwater lake, and then there's a small river, maybe about a mile or two, that connects into the Gulf side right there.
Sure. Yeah.
And he was saying, I mean, between the for all your typical brackish waters, your speckled trout, your redfish goes, and then going further back, he goes, there's big largemouth that live back in that lake.
Totally. I'm going to take you up on it, and I'm going to meet you down there. I have some great areas and some small lakes that have large, big bass, as well as the Chinook and everything else that go in there, because it's that brackish water. It's mixing them the two together. Yeah. It's amazing how big they get.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He showed us pictures, man. I was like, man, that's cool. So what kind of kayak are you in?
L2. Have you ever heard of the L2? It's a flat board. Look them up. They're about, this one's 12 feet long. It's 36 inches wide. They're amazing. It looks like a mini pontoon. So you can stand on them one end or the other. They'll hold up to 550 pounds and they will not flip.
So L2 kayaks, right?
L2 Live, and they're an amazing kayak. And I actually met the owner. He's actually out of Clearwater, Florida. And they build a strong product.
I'm pulling it up right now. Give me one second. I'm gonna share it on our screen right now.
I'm gonna grab this one thing on it too as well.
All right, so we're looking at it right now. The L2 Fish.
There you go. Okay,
cool. So, and you're using this both in Florida and in Colorado, huh?
Yeah, so you can actually attach a small electric motor. I have one that sits actually in the front, and I control it with the I have a little small cooler I put in the back, because remember, this is 12 feet, and I use a Rodan, Rhodan, electric motor, and they're amazing because it's all pivotal. You can click on that little button when you get locked into a fish, and it'll just put you into a mode of like an anchor would, and it'll just control that motor, and it's very effective.
I swear, if you didn't have that motor, that was you up on that picture right there. Let's go back. Right. Hold on. There you go.
There you go. That's very similar to the one I have. They're a great little small boat, and you can get into some small areas. I like is you don't feel unstable on them. You don't feel like it's going to flip over on you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that almost, you know, in the same way, I would say what's out there from Blue Sky Works is the same pontoon style. This is more. It can now. How does this break down, or is it one piece?
It is one piece. And get this. How much do you think that thing weighs?
It looks super lightweight. I'm probably going with about maybe 60 pounds.
You're pretty darn close. Between 50 and 55 pounds they weigh.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty light. That's a pretty light vessel.
Yep. You can carry that on your own. It has a clip in the center, and you just pick up and put under your arm, and off you go.
Sweet. Cool. And for anyone who's listening, again, that's the L2 Fish. If you guys want more, check out their website. And we'll actually this is a good one to bring up to our other show, The Reel Down, which is a product review show. So if you ever feel like you want to go ahead and give L2 Fish the, give them their business, we definitely have you on the Reel Down talking to Brad and Josh about it.
Yep. And I know the owner, he's a great person, and they stand by their product. That's what I like about it. And just a quick hit on them, just because I think it's important to show importance of how this company operates. I flew in there and I told him I wasn't getting in until 9 o'clock. He goes, no problem. He goes, and this was on a Friday night. He goes, come over to my company. It's obviously closed, and I'll meet you there. So I got in at 9:30. He gave me a tour of his business. Top notch customer service. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's good quality, man. That's awesome to hear that businesses are out there like that. Cool. So when you're fishing, for your freshwater, what kind of technique do you like the most?
Well, I like to use spinners a lot. So I use a light rod and reel. And if I'm up on the rivers, if I'm not using a fly, then I'll go to a rod and reel. And then with small MEP spinners, typically an O or a one.
Okay.
Obviously checking what the water looks like and the clarity before I drop anything in.
Cool. Yeah, the old... You know, it. I feel like around here, that's a lost technique, is using inline spinners. Also, a lot of time around here, we use them for northern pike. They work great.
They do.
Great for northern.
Sometimes cool. I like to go back to smaller tradition, which hits in that area. And I know the rivers quite well, some of them. And, you know, you kind of get a feel for what's hitting and what's not.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you, and, it, you know, by all means, you know, it's not trying to go super personal, but... mentioning your fireman, what fire department are you on, and where in relation in Colorado is it?
Yeah, great question. So I work for the City of Westminster Fire Department, which is a suburb of Denver. I'm about,
okay.
We actually almost tie neck and neck to Denver. We're about, if you're in downtown Denver, we're just about 10 miles to the north, and we tie into several multi jurisdictions that connect to Denver.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
What are you guys running on average a year?
We run between roughly 12 and probably this year we'll hit 14,000 calls in a 33 square mile basis. And we also will support 5 other jurisdictions around us. So we have mutual aid and automatic aid.
All right, very well. And then how many stations in your...
So we have 6 stations within the City of Westminster. And we also are full fire department, full functioning with fire and rescue. So we also have medics on our department, and which are also firefighters.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's kind of, when you do come here, you'll see the way we operate. You're set up like how the suburbs are, but the city, we're, even though I'm a firefighter paramedic on the engine, our ambulance crews are strictly single rural paramedics, but we're all in the same house.
That's awesome. So, that's the way we function, just the same way.
Yep. So yeah, it's we have the busiest ambulance in the nation at our firehouse. So they average on an you're coming on a Friday, they're probably going to do probably anywhere between 30 and 35 runs for the day.
Wow. That's amazing. So that's from the call, obviously the transport, and then back to the station. So they basically aren't at the station.
They're not there. No, it's a rarity. If like you see them, if you see them for more than an hour, it's a slow day.
Wow. They are very busy.
Yep. Oh yeah. Cool. Well, that, and the one other thing I wanted to bring up too, I know actually I'd like to bring it up later on, but I want to bring it up now just because we're on the subject of firefighting. Do you guys do anything with Colorado Springs in the memorial?
Absolutely, we do. We always participate in that. We'll send apparatus down there. We support in any way we can from the union side as well as from the city side. Absolutely. I've been down there multiple times, and for the audience, if you've never been there, it's a great place. It's Colorado Springs. It's about an hour and a half from Denver Airport, which is DIA. They actually have their own airport in the Springs, and it's an amazing place to go. Each year they have it in September, typically, and it's beautiful that time in Colorado Springs, and the whole memorial for firefighters is set up there, and they put on an incredible celebration of life to firefighters down there. So it's quite a place you have to go at least once.
Yeah.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Firefighters across the world, I mean, literally across the world come there from Canada, obviously the United States. We've had them everywhere that come down there. It's pretty amazing.
Cool. Well, and that's the next segue, man. So you got everybody coming to Colorado. Let's talk about what to do out here.
Oh my gosh, there's amazing things to do there. So we talked about fishing from the state parks and the Front Range up to the mountains. If you come to Colorado, and I can break it down a little bit. For family life, they have what's called Grand Lake, Colorado. It's a beautiful area with multiple lakes, and it ties into Estes Park on the backside of the area where there's elk and moose, and it's quite an epic spot to go. If you want to come in the winter to do fishing, they have some great lakes up there. Also, you can bump over to Breckenridge, which is an amazing ski resort. We're known, obviously, for skiing and snowmobiling. Actually, Grand Lake is the snowmobile capital of the country, I believe, still. They have some amazing places to snowmobile. And then that ties right into Vail, Colorado, too, for skiing and fishing.
Cool. You know, there's a hidden gem that everyone talks about. I've never been. I've seen pictures. How far is Telluride from that's on the other side, right?
I was just going to go there with you. So you have Durango and Telluride, Silverthorne, the whole southwest Colorado. It is beautiful. There's 14ers there, mountain peaks that you have to drive over to get there. And there's beautiful lakes and streams up in Telluride, Colorado. It's a great place to visit. Bring your wallet, though.
You know, the closest I've been was in Moab a couple of years ago. Yep. And so Grand Junction was like the closest Colorado marker to us. But it's crazy because I have the picture, and where we were at, we did a mountain biking excursion. So we did 4 days of mountain biking from, if you're familiar with Canyonland National Park.
No, right where it's at.
All right, so where the needles are.
Yep.
At the south end of the park, along all the Black Diamond Trail that's on the outside of the park. We did 3 nights of primitive camping along it, but there's a point. It's called Chicken Foot Crossing, is what it's called. And once you go past the sign, it's about another, say about 500 foot ascend to the peak, but sure, where you're, it's a flat, and then it just all rolls. Well, where you're standing on that flat, you could see you are truly in the foothills of the Rocky, because and the way this picture was, it was pretty awesome. You had the moon on one side of the mountain, the sun right over it, and then just the foothill of where we are at. And to, you know, that's hundreds of miles away, but yet it looks like it's right there.
Because there's the, yeah, and the reason is, in my opinion, is there's no city lights right there, so it just enhances the color there with the moon and the sun.
Oh, absolutely.
You're close to the Mesa Verde right there in Grand Junction, which is another epic spot for fishing and hanging out.
Yeah, no, it was not, but because we went back into Moab, yep. So we still kept going north. We still kept trekking north.
North, yeah. And they have amazing peach orchards there in Grand Junction, and then they tie it from peach orchards right to distilleries. So they have tons of distilleries and breweries. Oh, Colorado has tons of those. There's tons of them.
We're gonna tap into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they have the breweries in Colorado. You have Coors, and then you have the Budweiser as well. They have just unique different places that you can come, and yeah, there's tons of breweries within the state.
So let's start here from where you're at,
okay,
or throughout the state. Give me three restaurants that you'd recommend people had to check out, hands down.
Okay, hands down, Buckhorn Exchange.
Okay,
it's in downtown Denver. It's been there for about 60 years. They have more fish and wildlife on the wall, and you can get anything you want there.
Anything,
any type of wildlife, from rattlesnake right down to gazelle.
Oh man! All right.
The next one I would say is Bojo's Pizza Place. For if you like pizza, and I'm talking Colorado, this isn't Chicago, but okay, Colorado, okay. Idaho Springs, you're in the mountains. There's breweries all wrapped around you. You're sitting outside and you're looking at these mountains that go vertical wrapped around you. It's a great place to go. The last one I would have to say is probably the Fort. It has some cool outdoor life that you can go up there. It's at the front of the mountains, so you see all the mountains, but you can look back and you can see the entire city, downtown Denver, across the entire Front Range. It's a great place to go. They have amazing food there as well.
Sweet.
And yeah, those would be my top three.
Cool. Well, now you've been mentioning it, and it's let's let the cat out the bag. Give me your top three breweries there that you – or you could go beyond three. But we're saying three as a minimum.
Yeah, well, I would say I like the New Belgium Brewery in Fort Collins.
Okay,
it's a great
big brand nationwide.
Yep, big brand nationwide. You have to go to the Coors Brewery as well. It's an epic place to visit in Colorado.
I heard that is out of all the major breweries that are out there, that's probably, you know. Yeah, you have Anheuser-Busch, but they give Anheuser a run for their money from what everybody said. So that's definitely on the checkout list. And what's your number three?
I have to tie it back to these are kind of the bigger ones, but you got to go back to Budweiser, because you might not drink Budweiser, but the brewery is amazing. The Clydesdales that they have there, it's an epic spot to visit, and it's close to Denver.
Cool. Yeah, I've been to the one in St. Louis.
Okay.
And the Clydesdales, the whole thing. I mean, it's a great way to kill 2 hours. It's pretty cool, right? actually, a funny story about Budweiser. A couple, maybe 4 years ago, there was a country music festival going on in Chicago, and of course, me being the kind of curious person I am, I snuck in and got inside the stables where the Clydesdales are at. And here's a picture of me taking a picture with the Clydesdale, and the person who's running the stables going, "Get out of here. All right, take the picture. All right, let's go."
That is awesome.
Oh yeah. That was a lot of fun. And I don't think I was, I didn't ride the horse, so I couldn't get that much trouble.
Thank God you didn't get kicked.
I've been on the receiving end of that once or twice when I was younger.
So I'm hearing a little bit of country background. So you like some country music, obviously, if you're a bass fisherman, would that be appropriate to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm on the same page with you. And we have what's called the Country Jam which is in Grand Junction, Colorado, about 3.5 hours. They have it every summer. They have amazing, some of the greatest singers that I've seen go up there, and it's a great place to go in the summer.
Cool. Yeah. You know what? There's a lot of – and that's one place for myself I'd like to check out too. I know it's bigger and probably in the same way how things are for us, but I would love coming to your area to see a concert at Red Rocks.
Yep, you're totally spot on. Red Rocks is amazing. It's a great venue. It's probably the best venue, I believe, in the whole western states of Colorado, of United States. Because the rocks, they come right out of the ground and you're surrounded by it. Then the theater sits down below, which means the music level and the acoustics are amazing when they play there. Some of the top performers, they want to play there because of the acoustic sound that it creates there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's another bucket list place my bucket list to check off.
Some of the distilleries, I want to hit you up with a couple of those.
That's the next one, man. Keep it rolling.
Right on. So Stranahan's, are you guys familiar with Stranahan's whiskey?
I am not.
That's in downtown Denver. Okay. Another one that I would highly recommend is the Durango. So now your Durango, which is in the southwest area of Colorado, they have Durango Crafts and Spirits. That's supposed to be amazing.
Okay.
And then the third one I'll hit you with is Breckenridge Brewery. And they also have Breckenridge Distillery. That's a great one.
Yeah, I mean, I've had Breckenridge. I do enjoy the beers that we get over here. But their distillery, though, if they can make a fine whiskey, by all means, send it my way.
That's right. They make a vodka too with it. They tie it with it. There's this one other called, you'd have to look it up, but it's called 10th Mountain Whiskey. It's another one in Colorado. I've never had it, but I've heard it's pretty darn good.
You know, there's another one. It's becoming a bigger brand now. But I want to say they're either based out of Colorado or Montana. Tin Cup.
I've heard of Tin Cup, and I think it is out of Colorado.
I've had it, and it's actually after the first shot, it has a bite. Don't get me wrong. If you're not expecting it, but after that, it's pretty smooth. Smooth drinking afterwards.
I have to agree with you, and it actually comes with that tin on the top of the bottle, yep. I believe, right?
It sure does.
Yep, I know what you're speaking to, and I'm pretty sure that's out of Colorado.
Yep, that was a good one that I had there. So do you guys – now, is there – I mean, when you talk about spirits, do you guys have any vineyards on either side of the mountains? Because, like, Napa Valley goes further down, but I don't know what you guys would have.
You know what? We do, and it's an amazing one. If you ever come out to Colorado, you want to go to Grand Junction again. They have amazing wine vineyards there, and you can do those 2 and 3 day visits where you can sample all the different types of wines, and the vineyards are beautiful there. And it's tied to the peach area as well. We have tons of peaches up there. So every August, people will go into Grand Junction just to get their peaches. Obviously, they sell them to the Front Range, but they have some amazing vineyards on that we call the Western Slope, which is right outside of Grand Junction. It's called Fruta, is exactly where it's at.
I think my wife, if she hears this episode, I think we're going to start booking our summer. I think she's going to start booking our next summer trip.
When you do, I want you to hook up with me, and I will make sure we hook you up with the right people. I have family that live up in that area, and I'll make sure you visit the right places the first time.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. She's a wino, so wherever she can find wine, she'll go for it too.
That's a great place to go.
Cool, man. So we're talking about all these small little towns, and it seems like most of these towns, you know, aside from the breweries and the distilleries, kind of have their own little unique features to them. You want to give me three places that you would recommend that are unique to itself? So, like, for example, you said Grand Junction has a country music festival every summer. Other places in the States that are worth checking out that stick out like that?
Yep. Silverton. It's in between Durango and Denver. and it's a beautiful area. It sits at the base of these massive mountains, these 14ers, and they have all types of things that go on during the summer there. They have a train that goes through this through the mountaintops of Durango and right in into Silverton. You can take the train right into there, and they have concerts. They have all types of things going on throughout the summers. But it is a beautiful, beautiful area. Cool. And then I'm going to have to bump right back into Grand Lake. I know Grand Lake very well, and that's about, in the greatest part, it's only an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours max from basically the airport. And it's a beautiful area. And that's where you get to see the elk, the moose. You can fish three different massive lakes up there. You can do it all.
Get me excited right now, man. That's everything. You know, that, and don't get me wrong, we had one of the best trips going out to Wyoming, to Tetons and Yellowstone. But, you know, that just sounds, it still sounds all, you know, everything that you would imagine, you know, that we don't get here in the Midwest, that you, yeah, you know, you can only envision.
You could come out here in the winter or summer. They're both beautiful. You come in the winter, you get a snowmobile. The snowmobiling is epic in that area. Or you're coming in the summer where you're taking, you know, UTVs or four-wheel drives up into the top of mountain peaks, and you'll see moose come right into the town. I guarantee you'll see a moose when you come in there.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why Midway USA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
I won't get yelled at by park rangers for getting out of the, when we went, the bull elk were in their mating, so they were doing their calls and charging through the town. And the park rangers started yelling at us, "You got to get inside. Get back in your RV. You can't be out here."
That will happen when they're in rut. Oh, yeah. And the elk are a little bit bigger than a smaller, you know, the elk are huge. They're a big
elk. Oh, yeah. That stag that came running up, man, that thing was massive.
If you want to see elk, Grand Lake, obviously, but then it bumps down in what we call Estes Park. If you Googled Estes Park right now, I assure you what will come up on that Google is there'll be pictures of elk immediately. It's amazing, especially right now.
Okay. Because the rut's going on right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cool. Any other places that are worth mentioning that you want to give out to?
Well, we kind of started with obviously the area from the Front Range, which is Fort Collins. It's a college town, but it's also, they have some amazing places from distilleries to breweries. The scenic view is, it's beautiful there. And it bumps all the way down to the Front Range, all the way to Colorado Springs. And then you bump up into the mountains. I think we kind of talked about some of the areas in the mountains, Vail, Breckenridge, Telluride. Those areas, and then you bump over to the other side of the range there, and then you have Grand Junction, Fruita, and the other areas. Those are the ones I would recommend.
Cool. Very well. Well, you know, that's a lot. I hope everyone who's listening had a pen and paper like I did and took notes, because those notes are going to come in handy when it's time to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So right now we're going to do a little transition, into our segment known as One Sip. Everybody knows the rules. Are you familiar with Barstool Sports?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you probably know where this came from, was from, One Bite. Everybody Knows the Rules from Dave Portnoy. But what we do on this part is we do some beer samplings. And now you had me all thirsty talking about all the breweries there. So on tonight's segment, which is brought to you by Rocktown Adventures here in Northern Illinois, gear up, head out for all your kayak, camping, and exploring needs. We are going to be having Southern Tier Pumpkin. As all the women would say, it is pumpkin spice season. For all the beer drinkers, it is pumpkin season. And this pumpkin beer is always on draft. I love it. But it's very, very rare around here to find it in bottles. And I was able to get my hands on some, so I saved a bottle for tonight's episode. The only thing I don't have in front of me is a bottle opener, which I was ill prepared for. So now I'm just using whatever tool is at my disposal.
Hey, where are they made out of? Where's the brewery?
So I want to say they are based out of Pennsylvania. Let's see here. Yeah, they don't have it on here. It is Southern Tier. And you know what? Here it is. Lakewood, New York.
Lakewood, New York. All right.
Yep. So, again, like I said, I've always had this one on draft, never had it in a bottle. All right, we're going to do a pause at 48. So, 48.25. We're good. I'm just going to make a note right now to pause it at 48.25, and then we'll come back in a second. I got to grab a bottle opener real quick.
Right on.
If you want, you grab a beer, do one as well.
I'm going to...
I'll be right back, Dave.
All right. Sounds good, buddy.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
The old Halligan bar.
There you go. The old school Halligan bar. Does it look like this one?
It's same one.
Cheers.
Cheers. Where'd you get yours from?
You know, I got it as a gift one time, and it's been a while, and it was a buddy from mine from the East Coast.
It's not from the Getting Salty podcast, is it?
No. Uh-uh. No.
Listen to those guys.
I lost you. There you go. You're back.
I was going to say, do you listen to the Getting Salty podcast?
No, I have not, unfortunately.
Oh, it's a good one to check out.
All right, I'm checking it out. I'm writing it down right now.
Cool. All right, I'm going to give us about 15 seconds, and then we're going to jump back in.
Okay, how about it?
10 seconds. And cheers to pumpkin. So let's pour it. I want to give a shout out to Black Horizons. I always mention them on the podcast, based here at Willowbrook. And because it's spooky season and it's pumpkin, we're going to put these two together. So let's pour it. One sip. Everybody knows the rules.
I like it.
It smells very pumpkin-ish. Now, don't let it fool you that it's pumpkin, because this beer is 8.6 ABV. So it does pack a punch. All right. Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, man.
How's that?
Am I turning orange yet? Is the head starting to grow out and the little stem coming up? You know, I love this stuff on draft, and it's even better that I can find it in a bottle to enjoy at home. This is always great. It's very first on the front end, it's very refreshing. It kind of has some darker notes to it. This is more of truly an ale. If you were to think like a red ale on steroids, this is what it would be. But on the back end, you could taste the malt. And you could also taste, there's almost like a nutty taste to it. but it's not overpowering, but yet you could taste the, like, if you're eating a piece of pumpkin pie, it's very good.
Perfect. That's good to hear.
Out of 5 stars, I 5 out of 5. You know, it's hard for me to give a beer 5, but this beer is hands down. There's no other pumpkin beer that could trump the Pumpkin beer. So
right on.
There's your segment of One Sip. Hope you guys enjoy and go out there and find Pumpkin, because this is great. So on that note of greatness, Dave, I want to say thank you again. But I want to give you the floor. I want to give you the floor to give thanks to anybody that's close to you, sponsors, anybody out there who you want to.
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show tonight. It's a great opportunity, and I feel honored to be here. I've enjoyed it.
Good.
And Firehouse Fishing Company, it will be coming live on December 1st of this year, and we'll be showing our shows. And I look forward into an amazing year and beyond. And I want to reach out and thank all my supporters, especially through Firehouse Fishing Company and through a couple of good friends of mine. And we're going to move forward. So thank you. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Very good, Dave. Well, thank you again for coming on to the podcast. And guys, you know, usually I'm talking, you know, linking up everybody's social media. Dave has his stuff in the works. There's nothing out yet, but when it does come out, I will definitely you either check out Paddle and Fin's page, check out my personal pages, check out 4-Star Fishing. You guys will see the links to Firehouse Fishing. So it's a great, and again, thank you for taking the time and effort to put this together and to get the message out there to everybody about, you know, the side that nobody wants to talk about and the side that people always think that, you know, we don't ever see, which
absolutely is, it's so important. And my shows come out, you're going to see that side. And I'm hopefully we can reach out to firefighters, our own people, as well as the public, so they truly understand what we do and how we do it and how we escape with one of my favorite things and passion is fishing.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Off the Water. Thanks to Dave Varney from Firehouse Fishing Company for his awesome, awesome insight and information about Colorado and his company itself. And until next time, I will see you guys off the water. Peace. Sit tight a second, Dave.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.